Pardon me for taking a sip of water up here. It gets a little dry every now and then after you sing and speak and all kinds of things. But by God's grace, here we are. And we've gotten to the point, as you open your Bibles today, to the New Testament. We have gotten to the point which I believe God has allowed us to reach the end of chapter 5 finally today. Hooray! Praise the Lord. We're finally getting through it. But I think it's safe to say that we have probably all heard the expression, maybe you've even said something like it yourself, that seeing is believing. We've all heard that, or that adage, I suppose, if you will, that I'll believe it when I see it. Now, I suppose that it might be true on occasion, up to a certain extent. Because I believe the human nature also says, I'll believe it when I see it, and then they see it in the eye, I still don't believe it. But you just said that you believe it when you saw it, and you saw it, there it was. Anyway, the Christian life, on the other hand, I think we need to be very cautious against falling into this kind of mentality. Especially since God tells us that by accepting and receiving Christ as our Savior, we are justified, and what does the Bible say? That the just shall live by faith. Oh, okay. Well, the just shall live by faith, and we see that in several places in the New Testament. And again, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things, not seen. Oh, so the Christian life, we've got to be careful with this idea that I'll believe it when I see it. That's not what God calls us to do. So I've titled today's message, To Believe is to See. Or if you wanted to shorten that up, I suppose you could say, Believing is seeing. But to believe is to see. And just in Mark chapter 5, we've already studied more than one case that epitomizes that very statement. Now, James chapter 2 and verse 19, the second part of that verse says, the devils also believe and tremble. And we saw that very thing played out in verse 6 of chapter 5, where the demoniac of Gadara saw Jesus afar off, and he ran and worshipped him. Why? Because the devils believe. And because they believe, they knew that that was Jesus. And that Jesus is real. And they recognize him afar off. Now recall also, if you will, from the last few chapters that we've studied. Okay, well, it's the first few chapters of Mark that we've studied together. How that the news of Jesus has been spread far and wide. And the Bible says throughout all the region. So as we come to this account that we started a couple of weeks ago of Jairus, we're not told that Jairus ever met Jesus personally, but certainly, as evident by what we've already read of him, Jairus believed that Jesus was his only hope for his deathly ill daughter. And he believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. And so in Mark chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, when Jairus, verse 22 says, Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, of course, as we come through here, the woman with the issue of blood, after all else failed, she heard of Jesus, the Bible tells us, and likely hearing of all that he has done, because remember, the news of Jesus has spread throughout all the region, what Jesus was doing, the people he was healing, and the power that this man Jesus seemed to have. She heard of Jesus, and likely heard of all that he has done, all those that he has healed. She began to believe also that he was her answer. Now, the Bible tells us that no one introduced her, No one in particular brought her and pointed out Jesus to her. And yet, the Bible says that she went directly to him from behind and touched his garment. You see, she heard of Jesus, and the Bible tells us here, let's see, where can we find that? The Bible tells us here in verse number 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things with many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus in verse 27, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Her belief led her straight to the man, the person of Jesus Christ. You see, she saw who she needed to find because she believed. And she believed that just by touching this man's garment, she would be healed. And indeed she was. So I suppose our personal inquest today, what does that mean? Or our personal challenge, our personal goal, what we need to find today personally is, can we see Jesus and his omnipresence wherever we are and in whatever circumstances we are in? Can we see Jesus with us? Or are we like a great number of those in our text today that are prevented from seeing what the Lord is about to do? Oh, that's an interesting thought. Let's see what the text has to say. Let's review our text, Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 22, once again, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now jump down, if you would, to verse number 35. And verse 34, Jesus speaking to the woman says, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And verse 39 says, "And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Verse 40 says, "And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." Let's pray today. Father God in heaven, as we look to this message today, to believe is to see. God, I would ask for your Holy Spirit to take charge, for your Holy Spirit to fill each and every one of us, Lord, to give us the understanding, to open our understanding, Lord, so that, Father, we can believe the Word of God in every circumstance in which we find ourselves. And that through the belief in the Word of God, that, Father, we can see your hand at work, even when the circumstances would dictate otherwise. Oh, but God, as your children, you love us and are always working with our best interest in mind, always working to bring glory and honor to yourself through the things that happen. And Lord, may we be receptive and may we be open to see your hand at work and to give you that very glory and that honor. God, help us today to see through our belief, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know that this is going to be a terribly long message today. Of course, I've said that before, and we end up being here for longer than I think, but that's okay. We're going to start today with a challenged faith. Our first point is a challenged faith. Now, keep in mind, if you would, as we read through this, that Jairus, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, was a religious leader. He was a ruler of the synagogue who, by faith, revered Jesus above his religion, such that he sought out Christ. By faith, he renounced his own position, and in the sight of all who were there, the Bible says he fell at Jesus' feet and besought him greatly. By faith, he risked his own reputation as a ruler of the synagogue to ask Jesus to come to his house to lay hands on his daughter that she might be healed. Only to have the news come as they were on their way, it's too late. Curse that woman that came and interrupted us. No, that's not what he said. But I wonder if he became dejected. I wonder if he became depressed. I wonder if he had his faith challenged. Because here he was seeking out the Master, and the Master was going to come with him, and he was going to heal his daughter. And this is some great excitement, only to hear, never mind, it's too late. Certainly this would be enough to shake anyone's faith. I dare say that many of us here today have had occasions not too dissimilar to this, in which our own faith, as we're waiting for God to do something great, we get the news that upends our faith and turns it on its head and said, why? I believe our faith has been severely challenged. How things ultimately conclude, friends, it's a matter for God to handle. How your situation and how your circumstance ultimately resolves is not a matter of how much faith we have. It's a matter of what God's purpose is. It may or may not agree with our personal desires, but we cannot allow ourselves to lose faith or to turn away from God if things don't turn out as we might hope. You see, that's what Satan is hoping for. That's what the devil wants. That's what his whole band of demons wants. Look at that, we shook them up and they no longer trust in the Lord. Jairus didn't do that. But I believe that he was receptive to the Lord Jesus. In this case, in our text, God's plan was different than what the messenger bringing the news could understand. You see, the messenger that brought the news said, why troublest thou the Master anymore? But Jesus intervened in verse 36. Look at verse 36. The Bible here says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Why would Jesus say this? Well, perhaps knowing the faith that Jairus has already demonstrated, Jesus was about to work so profoundly in this man's life, it would have been, can you imagine the unmatched impact in how this man conducted his own ministry and his role in the synagogue when Jesus does this miraculous work? He's a ruler of the synagogue. Now remember, the religious leaders, all they wanted to do was discredit Jesus. But here, this man risked all of that and he said, Jesus, come. And he was going to come. Can you imagine the impact that that would have when Jairus goes back and continues his ministry and says, I've got new information and let me tell you what Jesus did. God knows the heart of man. And Jesus encouraged this man as he was at this crossroad, as it were. You see, here was an opportunity to believe and to see what Jesus was going to do. Or he could choose to let go of the faith that brought him this far. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us, but without faith, we saw it this morning, but without faith it is impossible to please him. And this is the important part of this verse, listen. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. You must believe that he is. And it's through that belief that strengthens your faith, and then we can please God. It's the belief that will allow you to see God at work. So the scripture tells us Jesus went with only a select few. Now look at that once again with me. Oh, let's see. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said in verse 35, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further?" And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Now, who were all of those that were, if you remember the first part of this account, the people were thronging him. There was a multitude of people that were pressing in on Jesus, trying to say, "Hey, that was a great trick you did back there. So what can you do for me?" They were there for the sideshow. They were there for the carnival act. "Wow, he healed that person. Hey, what about him? Can you heal him too? Watch this." That's not what Jairus was there for. Jairus was there, and he put himself in humility at the Savior's feet. "Please heal my daughter." Everyone else, they had no belief in who Jesus was. They just wanted to see him work great things. "Ooh, me next, me next, me next." The Bible says that he suffered no man but those that believed. No man but Peter and James and John and Jairus. Because they believed, and they believed who Jesus was. Scripture says that he went with only these select few, who I believe were those who were diligent about seeking Christ and not just for a quick fix of their problem of the moment. Don't we do that sometimes? "Oh, Lord, this bill came and I didn't realize that this bill was coming. Can you help me out of this bill? Thank you, Lord. Here we go." I think sometimes we do the genie in the bottle thing with God. We can't come to God for a quick fix of a perceived problem. We have to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, not because he can fix my problems, but because he is God, because he is holy, because he is righteous, because he is the answer to all that I seek down deep in my heart. Which brings us to their second point, a rewarded faith. Started with a challenged faith, and here's a rewarded faith. Or maybe if you wanted to subtitle the second point, you could say an honored choice. In truth, as we have read the text, and we know that Jesus did reward Jairus' faith in that he did raise up his daughter to life again, the events just prior to that actually provide evidence supporting the theme of this whole message, to believe is to see. Look with me, if you would, in verse 38. "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." In verse 48 it says, "They laughed him to scorn." "You crazy wing nut, she's dead. You can't do anything about it. You're too late. Thank you very much, but let's move on." The only thing that all of these people would see, or could see, was that whoever this was that Jairus brought back to heal his daughter, you're too late. They had watched this young girl's life slip away while her father was off chasing some miraculous healer. Why wasn't he there beside his daughter's side? Why wasn't he there in the last moments of her death, holding her hand and telling her how much he loved her? And, well, isn't that just the humanism part of us? You weren't there and she needed you. Oof. Yikes. Yes, but she needs Jesus. And I had to go find Jesus. Notice what the Bible says. They had watched the young girl's life slip away while her father was off chasing some miraculous healer instead of spending the last moments. When Jesus questioned them and said that the damsel is not dead, but she sleepeth, they erupted in disbelieving mockery. They laughed him to scorn. You've got to be kidding me. Dead is dead is dead is dead. She's dead. She's got no heartbeat. She's got no nothing. Her life is gone. And what came of their disbelief? Well, the Bible tells us exactly what came of their disbelief. They were prevented from seeing the amazing grace and the power of God at work. You see, verse 40 does say, once again, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he, Jesus, had put them all out, you guys are out of here. You don't believe it. You don't get to see what's about to happen. You're not going to believe it anyway. Everybody out. When he put them all out. Then he taketh the father and mother and so forth. One study comment that I read while I was studying says this: Christ put out those that were unworthy to be witnesses of the miracle. Because they were so noisy in their sorrow, so ignorant in the things of God, they could not understand him when he spake of death as a sleep. And they were so scornful, they ridiculed him for saying such things. But Jesus took the parents of the child to be witnesses, because in it he had an eye to their faith, and he designed what was about to happen for their comfort, for they were true in their belief. See, the others, they didn't believe that Jesus could do anything. Christian, what do you believe that Jesus can do? What do I believe that Jesus can do? What an astonishing thing Jesus did for them. Maybe the question today is, what astonishing thing has Jesus done for you? What amazing grace has Jesus shown to me? Why were you astonished? Jesus said, why do you make this ado? Why were you astonished? Were you and I suddenly in disbelief like these parents? Wow, what just happened? I can't believe it. Isn't that the whole... what an oxymoron that is. In belief, we're going to go to Jesus, and Jesus does what we ask him to do, and I can't believe it. Make up your mind. What astonishing thing has Jesus done for you? Why were you astonished? Didn't you believe that he could do it? You see, Jesus charged them because of their astonishment, tell no man about it. Because you believed, and yet when it happened, now you just were in disbelief. Well, now you really can't have a proper witness. So now you can't really say much about this. He charged them, tell no man about it. Though they were comforted, the Bible says that, you know, he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and he commanded that he should be given something to eat. And in verse 42, straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were astonished with a great astonishment, but they were comforted. Because why? They had their daughter back. Jesus did exactly what Jairus was asking for. So they were comforted, but their belief was not quite complete. So they just stood there, mouths agape, eyes wide open. I can't believe it just happened. They were comforted, but they didn't know how to respond. Oh, what a wonder it would be if we would be so filled with praise for everything that God does for us that others would only say of us, wow, there is someone who truly believes and isn't afraid to show it. Do you know somebody like that? You know, there was a lady that came years and years ago. Yeah, I know many of you know her, Gracie Littlefield. God bless Gracie Littlefield. She wasn't afraid to tell anybody and everybody how good God was. And when she was in bed and sick in bed, she said, well, that's okay because God gave me breath and I could wake up today, so praise God. Isn't God good? She couldn't get out of bed. But she wasn't afraid to praise God. And I know that you know others like that. Are we like that? Do others see the praise and the belief in God in us? Or do they say, you know, they go to church and, man, they're faithful to church, but I can't believe they're kind of reacting like this. I suppose the question then, to sum it all up today, do we believe truly enough to see God at work in our lives? Do you believe enough to see, Pastor?
Well, that is one of those phrases I hear oftentimes. I can't believe God just answered my prayer. Well, let's ask God to take that little comment out of our vocabulary. If you prayed, God answered. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I knew you would. I knew you could. Isn't that pillow guy on TV says? Fox News always has that pillow guy on. The My Pillow guy?
Oh, my.
And they open up the medicine cabinet. And they said, yeah, we had a good sleep. I knew you would. I knew you could. So, well, we've got something better than a pillow guy's got, amen?
Yeah.
So this just always comes to give God the glory. Father, we thank you for this time we could be together today. And it is always a cherished opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, where you are being honored, where you're being lifted up and magnified. Lord, people who love you and who love one another. And Lord, we just thank you for this great day in the house. Lord, may we really learn to speak the truth. Lord, not to be amazed. Lord, we believe. We didn't believe we wouldn't have prayed. But then when you do, though, we are kind of a little bit astonished. And Lord, we ought not to be. Lord, may we be constantly aware of the opportunity to lift you up and to magnify you. And Father, give us traveling mercies. We go our separate ways. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.